This is Davinston.
All right, let's get to it. So, there's a different type of Trump story. Frozen actor Timothy Hughes was boiling mad during a curtain call on Broadway when he saw an audience member raise a Trump 2020 banner, so he snatched it and tossed it aside. Hughes, who plays Pabby, I don't even know what a Pabby is, and the hit Disney musical, yanked the pro-Trump sign from the attendee who was wearing a Make America Great Again cap in the front row of the St. James Theater, according to the Hollywood Reporter. What does it say about our country and politics when a man at the show tonight felt the need to protest Disney's Frozen on Broadway with a pro-Trump flag, Hughes wrote. How frightening is it that our show's message of love, acceptance, and diversity have become the opposition to supporting Trump? The curtain call is a thank you between actors and audience, a final connection to end a shared experience. He continued, I will not apologize for how I responded to the disrespectful man trying to interrupt this moment with a pathetic political platform. Not at our show, not in front of my beautiful, diverse, and talented cast. I appreciate everyone's support. After the show, the theatergoer said the Trump supporters stood outside the theater and threatened to sue if his banner was not returned. How much is a fucking banner? Well, you go to Staples and get some new fucking construction paper? Really? Is that what we're suing for? A fucking banner? $6.50 plus court fees. Are you fucking shitting me? I'm gonna sue. Are ya? It's weird what's going on now with that. Because I remember a couple months ago at Yankee Stadium, some fans unfurled a Trump banner. When did it be that we go to non-political events and we just start unfurling our political beliefs? This is new. This is under Trump. This is something I do not recall under Obama or Bush or Clinton, where you would go to like a non-political thing and somebody would want to make somebody who's not on that platform, but a spectator wants to make a political statement. This is new.
Yeah, I guess in a way, but it's all, you know, also with the Democrats saying, you know, if you see somebody from the Republican Party or a Republican politician, no matter where they are, disrupt whatever they're doing.
But that's a politician. We're talking about a performance and an audience. This is not political.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's a twofold thing. Number one, is that a lot of these Broadway actors, they feel like Trump is ruining their way of life, which he's not. I mean, they gotta relax.
I understand.
I'm not
that.
Done. I'm not done. All right.
He said to Joe's girl.
they gotta relax about that. That being said, you gotta leave that stuff at home. Number one, the guy was wrong to unfurl that. The actor is absolutely right. The actor is absolutely right about not apologizing, and they're absolutely right about not giving the damn poster back, the thing. Because what are you, really? Can you just go to a play and you have to unfurl that? There was no reason to do it, no call to do it.
No, I mean,
it was uncalled for, and it was stupid.
Wear your Trump shirt. You have a right to do that.
Yeah. Sit there quietly.
Yeah, enjoy the show or don't enjoy. It's just really weird. But then again, this actor draws even more attention to it by making a whole spectacle. I don't know what you do in that situation.
You know, in the actor's shoes, I think what the guy did with the banner was bullshit. I think he was right to do that.
Interesting though, how rightly or wrongly, their perception of Trump is that he is anti-tolerance, homosexuality, mm-hmm. theater. It's very interesting. And like, I've even noticed this in the political speech. If you saw Obama's speech, what he was talking about was, Russia and vote, traditional political things and free press and everything.
Right.
And now that's looked at as that's anti-Trump. But when those things just used to be American values, we're in a very weird place We're in a very weird place that things that we could all agree upon, whether you were right-leaning or left-leaning or somewhere in the middle, well, these are just values that we hold.
Yeah. But I think that everybody gets stirred up in their own camp, where if you're in the left-leaning camp, that the assumption is there that Trump is going to take all your rights. He's going to.
Well, that used to be when Obama was president. All the right would say that he's going to take your guns. He's going to take this. People whip themselves up into thinking that all this shit's going to get taken away.
Right. The absolute. And then you get a guy. And you have the perfect storm here where you have two sides of it. You have, and like I said, the guy that had the Trump banner, I feel was wrong. I feel that the guy, the actor was saying, well, with our show with acceptance and tolerance, it's we don't need to see that sign. No. With an idiot that can't keep his views to himself during a performance of a show, he's absolutely wrong. I feel your idea of it is wrong and misguided, saying, you know, that you know, if you're a Trump voter or supporter, you have no acceptance or tolerance. No, if you're a Trump
supporter. I don't know if he went that far.
He kind of made a statement. He did say that.
Because obviously there's Trump supporters in the audience. It's not all liberals that go see fucking Broadway. Everybody likes Broadway. I think he's saying, though, if you're going to make that statement, you're not in favor of tolerance and things like that. You know, you're a Trump supporter. You would go to Broadway, and you're not against those things.
No, not at all.
But this guy, I think, now he might be right or wrong. I don't know. I really don't know how I feel about this. But he's like, I think he's saying that by putting Trump 2020 during the curtain call, this guy is coming out against the gay community and tolerance. I don't know if he's right or wrong. It's just a weird place that we're in.
Right. You know, and he, I believe the actor felt that way.
Right.
My thing is that I would be upset because there's no place for a banner like that in a performance.
How do you fucking sneak it in?
I don't know, but why would you? It has nothing to do with
the performance. Are you happy to see me? Nah, it's a banner in my pants. Go Trump.
Yeah, I mean, if there was something about, let's say Disney was doing something.
It's not even a political show. It's about a fucking snowman and an ice queen.
Right. And now let's say, for example, Disney, there was a scandal at Disney or something like that. And they were caught trying to hush up something or doing something on their hand. And then you flash the banner during curtain call. Disney is unfair, blah, blah, blah. That kind of correlates to a
produced
show.
I'll make the connection for you. ABC is owned by Disney.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN is owned by Disney.
Right.
So you had the Tim Allen show.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was on ABC. Yeah, that was on ABC.
Yeah.
That's no longer on the air. You had ESPN saying we're not going to show the national anthem during football games anymore to avoid that thing. You had Jemele Hill on ESPN who called the she's not with them anymore, but she called the president a racist. So people could look at ABC/Disney as being anti-Trump, so this guy gets fired up. But the problem with that is he's still paid for the tickets.
But still, even so, for an effect, you went a long way to prove your point. It's like a long setup to a joke.
You've seen the act.
It's like, really? It's been 2 minutes. We're not even at the punch yet.
With a woman. I'm getting there. I'm not finished yet.
That's a callback.
How we do it in the business. That's the only connection I could make why you would go to Frozen to do that. But to me, that's kind of like burning your Nike sneakers. They already have your fucking money, stupid.
Mm.
You're not hurting anybody if you burn Nike sneakers or you make a protest after you've bought the tickets. If they really wanted to protest it, do it outside.
Yeah.
Don't pay for the tickets.
Like I said, if I was one of those actors and I saw a Trump sign there, is no place for that.
Really? So even you, with your views, and somebody held up a Trump sign. If you're one of the Broadway actors. So I'm saying you, Joe Curry, who's a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
But you're on Broadway.
Yes.
And somebody holds up a Trump thing during, you would take it out of.
I would, yeah, because it's not a place for that. It's a place to put that aside.
Yeah, I don't get it. And like I said, for me, the difference is, this is not their platform. They're spectators. So that's why it's different to me. Like when, the NFL does it. Well, that's their platform. But when you go to a sporting event or a show, it's not your platform. It's not about you. Now, by all means, wear your Trump shirt or your Hillary shirt or whoever you want to wear or your hat. By all means, support who you ever want to support. But don't draw attention to yourself.
Right. Now, let's say that the guy was wearing a Make America Great Again
Which
hat.
He was.
All right. Yeah. And just the hat. And the actor got upset on
then
stage.
Then he's a douche.
Then you got to relax.
Yeah.
But the guy
can wear whatever he wants.
There's no fucking banner. I mean, you know, what are you thinking? What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, if the guy has his little Trump shirt and little Trump hat on, and by the way, good for Trump with the marketing on this, because they're ugly hats, and I've never seen with any other president people wear their merch the way they do for Trump. So good for Trump on that. I'm sure he's getting a nice piece of the pie on that. But yeah, I mean, if a guy comes to the show and he's not bothering anybody, he's wearing his little red Make America Great Again hat, no, just fucking let him be. Don't take the hat off.
Yeah, and like I said, I felt the guy with the banner was wrong and the damn thing should have been taken away. I feel that the actor took it away because he felt that the show was a message of love, acceptance, and diversity, and he felt like a Trump fan was showing total disrespect against that, which I think is wrong. What I do think is he should have took the damn thing out of disrespect of the theater and the art of performance and the play. That, you know, ruining that. That's the way I feel on that.
Like I said, I think it's a very aggressive move to unfurl your banner. So he probably inferred all the worst of Trump supporters' qualities. Not every Trump supporter, but the worst of the Trump supporters.
I would say so, yeah.
So
I would say
like
so,
I
sure.
Said, I don't know if he's right or he's... I mean, yeah, I guess he's right to do it. I would have been fine if he didn't do it. It's just fucking weird. I don't remember this before when people were going to sporting events or going to see shows where... I know politics is everywhere now with this president, but it's just like... Just fucking chill. Put the attention on the people that people came to see.
Yeah.
Didn't come to see you.
Yeah, exactly. You came to see a play. You enjoy the play. You curtain call. Why do you need to show? Who cares?
Did you see this story at a Trump rally in Montana? Did you hear this about plaid shirt guy?
What was this? He was making faces?
So whatever. So he wanted to go see Trump, wanted to experience it. I guess a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
So he's an independent, voted for Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
So they tell him the day before or that day, whatever, that, you know, you got VIP, a meet and greet, and you get to stand behind the president.
Mm-hmm.
And they coach you up, listen, we want you to be very enthusiastic, want you to applaud, this, that, the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't agree with the president on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So there was things that the president was saying, and he was fine with, didn't say anything. But when he wasn't, when he didn't agree with what the president was saying, he'd be like shaking his head, no, or really? He was just being honest. I don't know if he was trying to draw attention to himself, but he was just being honest. So then somebody from the event, as this is going on, they're like, you gotta go. And they kicked his friends out who were wearing Make America Great Again hats. That's why they all have them. They give them the hats to stand behind the president. Now, I'm sure it happens for every president. I don't think it's a Trump thing.
Yeah, it's all optics.
It's stagecraft.
Also, like, when you go see a band, like an MTV band playing, you know, you all, it's casting.
Yeah.
It's central casting, yeah. Up front, you know?
Yeah. I just think it's like real. I think it's bad that they kicked them out. It's like, just come on.
Just put them in the back. Go in the back. Look, you can't still, you know, you're on the camera.
No, but I'm saying once the event's going, listen, the time to do your due diligence and screening,
yeah,
is before the event starts.
Right.
Unless they're doing something that's so disruptive. I think you just make it, you give too much attention to it. You know, I think it would have been much less of a thing if this guy made his face and did whatever he did. And, you know.
They were probably in the booth looking at the cameras and it goes, one more reel and he's got to fucking go.
Yeah, seriously, that's what it was. That's what it was.
You know, he probably got three reelies at the fourth reel. All right, look, man, this is bad.
He's not coming around to our side.
Yeah.
He's got a vamoose.
Pant to the girl from Missouri and get his ass out of there and we'll put camera 5 back on there.
But it does shed, and again, I don't think this is just a Trump thing, but it does shed light into like what bullshit a lot of this is.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, we want you to cheer. We want you to applaud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so do I. But sometimes the audience says, no, I don't get to kick him out. Man, you're not laughing and you gave me, I don't think that's funny. You need to leave.
Next time we work together, I'll walk around the crowd here. You yawn. Go over there.
Exactly.
Yeah, you didn't like the joke. You stand over there.
Right. Meanwhile, we don't have those
five people there. He's in the back of the room.
it must be good to be a president where you just get to kick people out who aren't enamored with your speech that you've done for the 50th time.
And believe me, there's times on stage you wish you could do that.
Many times. it's just such a weird place. And this guy becomes like a celebrity.
Yeah.
It's weird. Our country is so fucked.
It's the world we live in now. Everything is a soundbite. Everything is a YouTube clip. You know, that's the way it is. We made this.
Did you see today's little Trump thing?
No.
So he goes and gives, it's 9/11. So he goes and gives like, a speech in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Right. Yeah. I heard he was heading there for the speech.
So I guess he gets off Air Force One. And he's walking over and people are cheering, happy to see the president.
Yeah.
It's actually a video. They show him like fist pumping and doing the white man overbite. It's like, dude, it's a 9/11 memorial. Contain your enthusiasm. One fucking day that people are happy to see you. So now he was getting shit about that online.
He has a problem with solemn shit. Let me tell you. McCain 9/11. I mean, he's got a problem. Look, I voted for the guy to support him, but there's a little bit of improvement in some areas.
that actually has been a critique. You know, one of the jobs of president, and we've seen it with Clinton. We saw it with Clinton in the what was it, Omaha, the blast in '95. You know, the domestic terrorist.
That was
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Yes.
So we saw that in Oklahoma. We saw that in Charleston, South Carolina, with Obama. Of course, we saw it after 9/11 with President Bush, where these guys are consolers in chief.
Yeah.
You know, the nation looks to our leader, whether you voted for them or not, to pull us together, tell us what's going on.
Yeah.
And Clinton rose to the occasion, and Bush rose to the occasion, and Obama rose to the occasion. Trump's had a couple of these moments. Not so much. Charlottesville, no. He goes to Puerto Rico. He gives himself an A+, hands out paper towels, comes out months later, thousands die. I mean, you know, this is not...
JJ Boyd... posted today, he goes, well, I guess Trump's getting all the paper towels ready for North Carolina.
After I created a meme.
Oh, you created a meme.
I created a meme.
You create.
But
you
I wasn't making.
No. You know why I just stopped the show.
No, but I will tell you. I was before. Funny memes are different than memes that are trying to educate.
No, backpedaling are you?
No, I've said that before.
Really?
Like a haha meme is fine. But when you're trying to make a political point that's not researched and missing a bunch of facts, I'm not impressed. So the meme that I put out, and you know what I'm talking about because your page is littered with them. But so what I put out was I took a picture from when Trump went to Puerto Rico,
yeah,
and he's throwing the paper towels to the audience. Yeah. And I said, don't worry, North Carolina. Paper towels are on the way.
Oh, and he stole it from you.
I don't know if he stole it, but let's not give him credit. Mine was out there first, and I made it in meme form.
Oh, come on. I buried the hatch with a guy. I said, I don't agree with your comment, but funny. And now you're behind. Now you're mad that I gave him the credit.
No, I just credit should be with credit.
All right. So you did it. It was funny.
Well, thank you. It means nothing now. But
really? Why? Are you hurt your ditty bitty feelings?
No, I mean, we're just giving JJ credit for being a hack, and I don't appreciate it. At least I put mine in picture form.
I just put a year and a half of hostile comments to bed. I want to start it.
You've got 20 years of hostile comments with me. You haven't put one of them to bed. When do we get that ceasefire?
Oh, that's ongoing.
Exactly. Yeah,
like the Korean War.
Like the Afghanistan War.
This is like the DMZ.
Right. Yeah. Pip usually acts as the negotiator, not anymore.
Right.
Pip's not here.
By the way, you guys, talking about what happened on Broadway, Joe's girl said, well, what about what happened with Hamilton? One of the actors made a big anti-Trump speech when Pence was there.
I used to talk about it in my act. I don't think it was an anti-Trump thing. I think it was a request, if I remember, to be heard. That they were worried that the gay community was not going to be heard. And as I recall, Mike Pence handled that really well. He told his daughter who he's with, well, this, because they were booing Mike Pence, which I don't think you need to do.
Yeah. And Mike Pence was just minding his own business.
Right. But he told his daughter, this is what democracy sounds like, which I thought was a really cool thing to say. But again, the difference is, now I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but the actors are the one who are on who the spotlight is on.
Right.
That is their platform. Now you could say as a theater goer, I'm not coming here to see your political views, which is fine. But it's still different than an audience member holding a banner.
Oh, yes, yes.
And you know what? And you have the vice president. You know, I give him a lot more respect to the Hamilton crew because the vice president's there and this is their opportunity to directly communicate with the vice president as opposed to random person protesting random shit where none of the people that can do anything about it are present.
Well, I think Pence was just there to see the show.
He was.
And didn't want to make a big issue of it, and the actors made an issue of it. Where at this other thing, the actors are trying to do a show, and the guy with the Trump sign is trying to make an issue. It's kind of like reversed.
Yeah, there's a time and a place, like I said.
You're right. That's the way you would preface
it.
There's a time and a place.
You know what? If I had Donald Trump in my audience, first of all, I'd say, get him out. No.
If you had anybody in your audience.
Get them all out.
You know, no, I want to do this alone. Well, as luck would have it.
But if Trump was in my audience, I might take the opportunity to direct some concerns. Now, I wouldn't be rude.
All right.
And the Hamilton crew was not
now,
rude.
Now, give it in what respect? If it's a stand-up show or if you're
a
performer?
It's the type of show I do. Yeah, stand-up.
All right. Well, then that's different because it's – see, the reason is when you're
now, Trump would never go to a comedy show.
I understand. But in the guys – you know, in acting, you're portraying a role. It's – you know, you're in this role.
Well,
Hamilton's your character.
An American play.
I understand that. But stand-up is different. Where stand-up, you call the moment and you address the moment.
Right.
If the president's there, you're not addressing the – you're addressing the moment of another actor in the dialogue you're doing. In stand-up, you're addressing the moment of everything. If the president is there, you're free to make comments.
Yeah, I probably would. Like I said, I don't really have a big problem with the Hamilton crew because that is their platform. And when else are you going to see the vice president? And they were not rude about it. They were expressing their concern. They weren't shouting him down. I would not condone shouting down the vice president. Or vice president-elect, I think, at the time, at the end of your fucking performance. There's no need to be rude.
And the way they phrased it, the kind of, you know.
I don't remember the story that well.
Like, I think it was an indirect, it was direct, but in an indirect way.
They were respectful. I remember it was their concerns about the gay community. And Mike Pence, remember, he's the guy that is all for the conversion therapy.
Well, what it was, yeah. Well, they were saying we are very deeply concerned about our community with the light of the
And Mike Pence would
election.
Be, yeah, Mike, listen, if you're going to get somebody on the Trump administration about being anti-gay, Mike Pence is the guy. Trump don't give a shit, whatever. As long as you like Trump, Trump don't care.
Yeah.
But Mike Pence is not good for gay rights, and Mike Pence was the guy that's there.
Right.
So I get that. But I get it. But I also get if somebody was in the audience go, you know what, that ruined the show for me. I get that too. But, you know.
Depends where in the show. I
mean, yeah, just bring it. Leave your fucking banners at home. Leave your
There's no reason to bring them. There's no reason. There's
Even
no
if
reason
it wasn't I'm sorry, Joe. I didn't mean to step over.
Oh, sorry.
Even if it wasn't a political statement, who the hell brings banners to hang up during the bowing and, you know, pointing to the band part of a Broadway show? Even if it said, you know, eat at, Joe's, it's like...
Well, they can hang that sign. I need the business. But yeah, it didn't make sense. And I do feel that the actor was correct in grabbing that banner.
Yeah.
It's a weird fucking time we live in. It's just everything is just so political now. Everybody.
You got to remember something with Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat. Basically, everybody. The only time I ever recalled any discussion with politics was at the dinner table at my aunt and uncle's, or when I was in the backseat of the car and my grandmother and mother were talking about politics. That was the only time, or on TV with commentators, but that was it.
Even with Obama, you knew where you would find it online. If you went to the right wing or the left wing sites, whatnot, you knew you were going to engage it. Because Trump is everywhere, because he's such a big personality, and once you talk about, that's why he tweets 15, 20 times before he takes his first piss of the day. He wants you to talk about, so you can't escape it. We can't escape it, and I think that's part of the reason why his approval ratings now, multiple polls, we talked about it, last week, but now there's multiple polls out. He's in the 30s, mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are exhausted. I think it's kind of like in sports when you get you're a hockey fan, right?
Not really.
Okay. Let's see. Well, in sports, one of the things they do is they'll bring in like a coach or a manager who's very overbearing, very aggressive.
Yeah.
He gets to the, he's going to work his team really hard. He's going to make a big stink, and he's going to get the most out of them for a while. And then it wears real thin. It wears real thin a lot quicker than a guy who's more laid back. I think Trump is just so in your face, so omnipresent, whether you agree with him or not.
Right.
I think people are just exhausted. We remember a time when we weren't talking about the president every day. You know, that was the nice thing about Obama and Bush. Not Clinton at the end with the blowjob, because that's fun talk. But with Obama and Bush, they weren't, unless you wanted to seek them out, they weren't in the news every day.
No, there would be sometimes with any of them, you go, I wonder what's going on.
Right. And then there would be something major going on and they'd be in the news.
Yeah.
But then they would fade away and do presidential shit. This guy is in our face. There's no escaping him. That's why all the late night hosts talk about, and you know, people, the right wing fans go, oh, I remember when I used to be able to turn on TV and the late night hosts weren't so political. Well, we're all fucking political now. Hmm. We got a reality show guy, a fucking celebrity, a guy who really, his most successful thing was not as a businessman, but was his celebrity. We have him, and he's got the biggest microphone in the country, man. And he's going to use it. There's no escaping it now. Yeah. And I think that's a big reason why his approval rings. It's been 17, 18 months of his presidency, plus since 2015 that he's running, and he doesn't have a soft touch. It's always to 11 with everything. So I think unless you're really a big Trump supporter, you're just worn down.
Well, let's see how he does. I mean, the business confidence is the highest it's been.
I'm not talking about how he's doing. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about I think people are worn out by him.
Could be.
I
think, you know what, I don't know about you, I think I'm getting worn out. Look, I've got to...
I'm fucking burned out. If you're getting worn out, then I'm concerned.
Well, no, because the thing about it is that look, we do this show, we need to be up on stuff. And
I don't put in as much of it as I used to.
Neither do I.
And this was a different type of Trump story.
But neither do I, because you know the way we'd be battling with each other or somebody else or this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, I get tired. I'm getting sick and tired of investing the time, sitting and arguing. I got other stuff to do. I'm very busy lately.
At least me, sometimes I just, can't you just president? Can't you just do policies that I fucking hate? Do you have to add in the tweets and the comments and everything? Because I'm not going to like his policies. But it's everything else, and I think that's the part that wears on people.
Well, I guess, plus everybody's commentary, because, there's something like, really, and I go, I gotta learn a song, I gotta do that, I gotta paperwork, I gotta do stuff, I gotta
paying
do stuff on our show,
a full-time job, if you really want to.
It really is. And if you're gonna defend what he's doing and this, that, it's, very thing, you have to look at all the facts and stuff like that. And there's, like, the collection of people that I argue with all the time, which we have to go, you and, a couple other people. Yeah, you got to go back and forth. And sometimes I have the time or the wherewithal. Sometimes I just want to watch, Velocity Channel, we'll learn a song.
You're the one watching the Velocity Channel.
Yeah.
I didn't even know such a thing fucking existed.
It's all cars.
Sure,
all cars shows.
I'm sure I did.
Believe me, let me tell you something. That channel is on all the time.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
What is the Velocity Channel? I've never even heard of it.
It's a channel strictly about cars and automotive stuff.
Oh, my God.
24/7.
I would
it's on.
Die.
Ask Joe's Girl constantly on the house.
What a catch!
Oh my God, I'm so sorry, Joe's Girl.
What a nice getaway she has. Let's go to your house and watch Velocity.
Well, if you're not a car nut, you're not a car.
Is she
nut.
A car nut?
No.
Then change the channel, stupid.
No, she'll change it.
Oh, this is still new.
No, because what happens? She'll change it to the home network, Home and Garden Network. And we watched that.
You guys are on the opposite end of awful. The two of you. Can't you watch something fucking normal?
Well, we put on the Home and Garden show, and they show like the renovated brothers or whatever those guys are, and they run around and stuff. Then you sit and watch the show.
How long
go,
have you been a gay man? Good God. It's like your two sides are battling. Velocity, I'm all man. And then the Home Garden, not so much.
Well, you work at the problem with the Home and Garden show is you watch these project shows, and you look around like, I live in a shithole. And actually,
that's why I don't watch that shit.
I live in a very nice house.
I understand. No, it's too much. All right, let's do some School of Fools.
Finger on the rosy, bucket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fools.
I did not know school lunch was so divisive, such an issue. But we're going to get into it. It's kind of a serious topic. Then we'll get into some more nonsensical school topics. But this is kind of a serious thing. So last year, about 30 million students nationwide participated in the National School Lunch Program operated by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Of those, 20 million received free lunches, 2 million received reduced price lunches, and 8 million students paid full price. The school-sanctioned lunch especially important for low-income families who often struggle to afford healthy foods. As kids are heading back to the classroom, many feel a stigma attached to their free or reduced price lunches. Several incidents of school shaming children over unpaid lunch bills have made headlines, highlighting how the school lunch can be a symbol of the socioeconomic and food disparities that exist in America. Schools nationwide face a variety of constraints in serving lunch. Meals must meet USDA nutritional requirements, be appealing to students, and fit within usually tight budget. says Diane Pratt Heavener, Director of Media Relations at the School Nutritionist Association. In 2012, new nutritional standards for the school lunch program were implemented to require more whole grains, fruits, vegetables, lean protein, low-fat dairy, and less fat and sodium. In other words, make it healthy.
You know what I find it interesting? It has to meet the USDA standards. I mean, when we were in school, it had to meet the Geneva Convention standards, the stuff they used to serve.
Well, remember, Reagan said, like, ketchup was, like, a fruit. Mm. Remember that? That was Reagan that said that. They could give you ketchup, and that would be a fruit or a vegetable. So, are you fucking kidding me?
I used to have used to have that pizza. We used to have this gross pizza made with American cheese.
That's not pizza, Joe.
It was disgusting. I remember one time Anthony Cumia and I went in, and we go, "Why is there like regular mozzarella on this? American cheese is just fine." No, it's not. And it used to be so hot. If you, God forbid, if you tilted it the wrong way, you'd burn. There's a guy with just bone and third degree burns because he tilted his fucking pizza the wrong way. This shitty taste and stuff. Right.
And American cheese isn't real cheese.
It was disgusting. It's like, what the frick? It's not like we're in the Midwest. We're on Long Island.
Fuck those people.
The kids in this place are Italian. They're shoving this shit at us.
All right. There's no regulations for fresh versus processed foods. When students choose an eligible meal, which must include a fruit or vegetable, schools are reimbursed by the USDA $3.31 for free lunches and $2.91 for reduced rate lunches, with the student paying 40 cents. A 2008 USDA study estimated the average cost to produce a school meal at $2.91, but it can vary by region. In some high-poverty communities where the majority of students qualify for free meals, all students can receive free breakfast and lunch without their parents having to apply. For students to qualify for a free school lunch in the 2018-19 school year, family incomes must be at or below 130% of the federal poverty level, or $32,000 for a family of four. Jesus Christ, that's not a lot.
No, not at all.
Reduced price eligibility extends to incomes up to 185% of the poverty level, which is $46,000. Adrian Brooks, a ninth grade English language arts teacher in the North Bronx, New York, sees students' midday meals as broader representation of the wealth gap, during which students can attribute status to classmates who bring lunch from home or are able to get someone to bring them fast food or takeout. They're sort of gouging each other as to who has money and who's eating free lunch in the school. Shaming around free lunch isn't so much overt bullying as an attempt by students to avoid eating the lunch or not wanting to eat lunch because the stigma attached is that it is automatically not good to them. It doesn't taste good because to them it's cheap. Brooks 35 says his experience was similar when he was a student on the free lunch program. In elementary school, nobody cared. It was just assumed we all got free lunch. I don't think anybody thought about it any other way. The dynamic starts to shift when you go from middle school to high school and you get into all these sorts of social hierarchies. Brooks said there were often two separate lunch lines for those who were paying and those who weren't. If you could pay for lunch, you could purchase more desired options like French fries and cheeseburgers. For years, schools have been fighting the stigma associated with school lunches. Pratt Heavener said many have changed their payment to possess more inclusive and have eliminated separate lunch lines. They do everything they can to make sure that the point of sale is not an identifying experience for a child. They have like now online payment systems where you can enter a PIN number to pay. Let's see. Oh, there's a lot of fucking reading and I don't want to. So lunch is the time when they can come together and share a meal. The stigma has been fairly well documented. Stigma stands in the way of many students getting the only healthy meal they'll be offered all day. The meals served at school tend to be healthier than many bag lunches. They've seen students that bring in boxes of fresh and balanced meals, students that bring in half-eaten bag of chips for lunch, and some don't bring in anything. A study on schools in rural Virginia, for example, found that meals packed from home were higher in fat and sugar and generally less nutritious than the ones in schools. Grassroots efforts are popping up to disrupt school lunch programs by incorporating gourmet restaurants. They're bringing in chefs and shit to use chefs and shit. That's a good way to sell it.
Chefs and shit.
To make the food better, more appealing, and healthier. But it's hard to make food that kids like. That's the hard part. Because you want to make it. Kids are very finicky. Making full meals from scratch can be tough for schools since so many of them are financially strapped. Cutting fruit for 1,000 kids is a big job. It takes time. It takes space. It takes know-how. Well, no, it's hard. You don't have the staff for it.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, if you're doing it in your kitchen and you got three kids in the kitchen, but I mean, you got a full school.
You got 1,000 kids.
That's a lot of fruit to cut.
Exactly.
No, I know it is, but it's just like, you know, you're talking about the kids' food. It's not like a simple thing. Like, oh, let's just throw crap at them because it's hard.
No, that's not what they don't have the staff for it, you whore.
I know they don't.
This show cracks me up.
This should be the
bunch of assholes.
This one can't even fucking do a 3-hour radio show because her tum tum hurts, and she's chewing out the lunch lady because she doesn't want to cut 1,000 apricots. Oh, well, fuck yourself. How dare you? The lunch lady shows up. You have a bellyache and you don't show up for a 3-hour radio show. How dare you?
How do I know that fucking lunch lady's showing up?
What?
I know that lunch lady's showing up.
What balls you have.
Sure, she's not here. She can't hurt me.
She's coming back.
Will she?
There's always
knows?
Next week, you.
Pip doing a show is like Donnie loading a fucking show. It's a crapshoot. I was not aware of the discounted and free lunches as a kid. Were you guys?
No. And the funny thing is if you brought lunch from home, you were considered poor.
See, I didn't know that either. I always brought lunch from home because I had to because we were kosher.
Right. Okay. I used to buy lunch at school. I never had time. My mother
I was envious
time.
Of the kids that could buy lunch.
I used to get the lunch. Yeah. When I was in junior high, the lunch was included. Elementary lunch was included. When I got to high school,
I don't remember lunch ever being included in my school.
Yeah. In junior high, I don't remember paying.
Maybe you were on a program. Maybe that's why you didn't pay.
No, I wasn't on a program. I did remember in kindergarten that we had to bring our milk money to buy milk.
I remember milk money.
And my father was an accountant for 3 different Fortune 500 companies, wrote papers on accounting. And you had to see him going, and I'm horrible at math. And he's teaching me how to do my milk money. And he just looked at me like, you can't be mine. You cannot be mine. I have this something.
Second grade Joe couldn't do math, and Mr. Curry was going to disown him over
I
it.
I had a, there's just some, even now, I mean, for some reason, at the day program,
so
I could.
So good that you're handling sales.
It's weird with multipliers. I just think discounts and multipliers and know all the multipliers for stuff, like the back of my hand, but try to make me figure out tax and a dinner check. It's like,
that's why they have that on the phone now. You can.
Well, I also have a little card I keep in my wallet as well.
You can do that on your phone, too. You don't need to have a card. It's not 1998.
Okay. No, thank you.
I don't even figure out if I let the wife do it. I don't fucking know. But I'm the same way.
All right.
I don't know. But no, I mean, like, I wanted to get, probably because I couldn't, I wanted to get the school lunch, but I was unaware that there was these different stigmas, and some kids were getting it for free, and some kids were getting discounts.
I think that might have changed starting in the 90s. Maybe starting in the 90s, where they started.
I was in school
that?
In the 90s.
Were you?
Yeah, I was in high school in the 90s.
Really? Okay.
Early 90s, but yeah.
Maybe different schools. Because I didn't know that.
The daughter does not want school. She does not want to pay for lunch because she's so fucking picky. Here's another thing that changed. When we were growing up, what'd you get for lunch? A sandwich. That's what somebody made you a sandwich and you brought it from home. These kids don't eat fucking sandwiches. They're getting spaghetti, meatballs, macaroni and cheese, Chinese doll, wontons, dumplings. Well, today she had a steak sandwich. So she did have a sandwich, but it was a fucking steak sandwich. Are you fucking kidding me? I had peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I could imagine asking Nettie, can I have a steak sandwich? Yes, and you'll be eating with a broken arm. Here's bologna.
She sounds very warm.
She could be tough.
You'll be eating with a broken arm.
How's your steak? You can use that T-bone to splint up your broken arm.
Yeah, now you're in a tight ship, let me tell you. Yeah.
I will say my father made better lunches than my mother did.
Really?
Yeah, like he would like make a cold cut sandwich, and that was a good get for me.
Yeah.
A cold cut sandwich, there'd be like a lot of meat on it. Once in a while, my mom came in with like the cream cheese and jelly sandwich. What are you fucking doing? No, what? Don't bring that here.
Yeah, I never had lunch made for me. My mom had no time. She had to go.
The worst was Passover when I had to bring lunch, and I'm a fucking opening up matzah and gefilte fish. That is never a win.
Oh, God. The kids must have teased you.
Oh, my God.
Did I get teased? No, I don't know if I got teased. You know, it's just the type of thing you either eat quickly or you throw away.
Yeah, I know.
I'll tell you what, nobody's swapping gefilte fish for anything.
No, no, no.
You're not getting a little Debbie for some gefilte.
No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Unless you were talking to a cat.
Yes, then I'll take the cat mouse over the gefilte fish.
Yeah, right. We'll take the catnip.
But then, I mean, that was the problem. Like, I remember I would get, because matzah's not really good for transporting sandwiches. Matzah's not that type of bread. So I would get like a little Tupperware, like during Passover, of like, say, like tuna fish. Me a little Tupperware. And then in tinfoil, I'd have like a couple broken blades of matzah. So now I got like half an hour. I gotta build a lunch playset.
Hey, Pip, he never explained it, but now we can see why Davin sort of went rogue on his religion.
Yeah, it's fucking
right. Of course, yes.
It's one of the highest holy days right now.
Yes.
I'm saying fuck like a sailor.
Yes.
I didn't go to temple.
You're not going to atone.
No, I most certainly will not. I'm just going to do it again. Yeah. Why lie to the guy or gal?
Like, why lie to the guy or gal, just in case?
Yeah, I'm hedging my bets. You know, yeah. I don't want to be a dick about it. But no, but I mean that's the problem with like growing up very religious in a public school.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you went to, like, a yeshiva, a private Jewish school.
Well, everybody's there. Everybody's having the same stuff.
And they're closed probably for Passover.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're not closed for Passover in public school.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not. Passover is 8 days.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the holiday now. No.
This is not Passover. This is Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, okay. I'm
and
sorry.
Now they only close for one, they're only closed for one day.
Mm.
You know, back in my day, they used to close 2 days. But, no, some places weren't even closed. Colleges weren't closed.
True.
Yeah.
I actually was off yesterday.
Really?
Working a very, it's a very Jewish firm.
Yet you couldn't get today off.
Huh?
Yet you couldn't get today.
Because everybody was pretty much off.
See, my dad's company closes down, like, for the Jewish holidays.
Yeah, no, there was.
Because they're all Jews.
There was no, largely everybody there is Jewish, so everybody left. It was just Don and I.
What are they bringing in for Passover? I'm sorry, you see some of these abortions that these people are bringing in.
Oh, God. I think somebody brought some gefilte fish in.
At
La Matza.
Yeah, but gefilte's not good for an office setting.
Yeah.
You can't bring, because it stinks. Gefilte is good for radio punishment games. It's not good for an office setting.
No, it's not good for a lunchroom. You're not there's just like a unwritten rule that you are not supposed to bring any kind of fish for lunch at work, period.
Yeah, I'm that guy who brings a tuna fish sandwich on an airplane. I don't give a shit. I like tuna fish.
I know, even tuna fish that tastes funny.
I didn't like that tuna fish, but I ate it.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Hey, I fucking did the shows.
But you didn't have to add to the problem.
I figured they would duke it out in my tum-tum.
Okay.
I didn't miss a show. No, but I mean, it's just a shame that there's these stigmas attached. I'm glad that they're doing it so you can't really tell anymore.
Yeah, it's having two lines was kind of brutal, you know.
So you remember that?
No, I'm saying what they did. There never was two lines, but what they're doing is having two lines is kind of brutal.
You know what sucked? I wouldn't even always get like a paper bag. You know, sometimes I'm walking in there with like a Bradley's, which was like a store, like a department store,
yeah.
a plastic Bradley's bag for my fucking lunch. So not only am I bringing like, you know, stuff that isn't always great, but it's fucking announces itself.
Yeah.
Because it rustles all over the
place. Yeah, you gotta hear everybody bullshit, you know.
Yeah. I had fucking lame book covers too.
Oh, did you?
You know, like how you like.
Oh, yeah, the paper bag covers?
If I was lucky.
Really? Well, if you were lucky, that was pretty much the bottom of the barrel.
No, my parents found a more bottom.
Oh, no.
The Bradley's bag. You know, like the plastic fucking bag, so you can't even draw on it.
Oh, that
like
sucks.
If you draw, like, it smears. So you can't even write what, like, the subject is, like social studies. You just have to know by the department store what it is.
Ah, and if you didn't have the paper, at least you could draw an Aerosmith emblem on there.
Sure,
a Boys the Cult emblem.
Yeah. No, I had none of this.
Really? And, that like, sucks. You were deprived.
I was deprived.
Now you're depraved.
Yes. It's amazing
that's
what happens when you change a vowel.
Yeah.
No, but like in elementary school, I went to Lincoln School. You could buy the Lincoln School book covers.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know how much they cost, but apparently it was too much because I didn't have them. You know, I have to cover my – because that was when you had textbooks and you brought them home.
John Glenn one was $1.50.
Yeah, but you know what was free? The fucking newspaper in the house. I'm very scarred.
I tell you, and it's funny with like when the kids get school supplies, they get a list during the summer.
You're fucking telling me. I know.
Oh, yeah, I know. And I didn't have that.
Not only this, one year, they were, a couple of years ago, I probably ranted about it. Sounds like something I would do. They were like very specific about the number two pencils. They had to be like Ticonderoga. Let me tell you something. I got a redwood forest of fucking pencils in this house.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're all, and they're all number two.
Ticonderoga. Fuck you. Eberhard Faber.
Right. But you know how it, is when you're a kid, you get it in your head that they're right and this is the way you have to do it because it's right here on the fucking list. It's like, no, you don't understand. A number two pencil is a number two fucking pencil. We don't have to buy more number two pencils. We got a boatload of, we have number two pencils from when I was in school. Then we don't need more number two pencils.
It's and let me tell you something. I used to have to, basically, you would get the school list when you were in school the first day, and you would have to have the shit the next day.
Which was unrealistic.
I know. And then, and the funny, Modell's back then was a department store.
That I don't recall.
Oh, that little generator. But Modell's used to be a department store. And everybody in Elwood used to go to Modell's that night to buy school supplies. Now, my mom just got off the train after working all day long at 7:30. We are now at Modell's at 8 o'clock at night.
Got to get there before they close at 9.
She is so pissed. I don't believe I have to do this shit. Tell her, you don't have any. I need this stuff tomorrow. Oh, for Christ's sakes. Then she's complaining in Modell. My people I go to school with are there. I was like, Mom, will you tone it down? Shut up. I'm paying for this shit. I could say whatever I want.
She's right.
Yeah, I know. But still, you know.
But that's what we did. At least that's what I do as a parent. Like, tell your teacher no. That's like, I make my daughter in charge of the mediation. Like, I've had enough of this shit. Tell your teacher no.
But you're putting her in a bad place.
I understand, but I'm in a bad place.
I know. You can't put the kid there, you know.
Why not? She's mine. I can ruin her the way I want.
Till your wife steps in.
She gets good fucking lunches, doesn't she?
Yeah, that's true. You know, if you want that steak and a macaroni, you got to keep stepping.
Absolutely. If she and she doesn't even eat the lunch in school because I guess that's prime talking time. So she comes home and eats fucking lunch that we brought to school.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, really? Really? I don't even know why we give her lunch for school, because really it just takes a journey. It's like lunch leaves the house in the morning. Like going to school is her lunch's job. It's their gig. It's what they do. But they really get down to business back at home at the fucking dining room table after a long day of getting warm and probably filled with bacteria.
Right. Why don't you just tell her, why don't you just leave it here and have lunch when you get home for dinner?
Because then she'll come home hungry. So winning. There's no winning.
No. No.
Yeah.
All right. We'll move on.
And wait till she gets older, you know, another couple of years.
She might not.
And you become you. You know?
I am me. Who else would I be?
I know, but there's a. I don't have kids, but I know enough where instead of you being dad, you become you.
What do you mean?
That they're just going to look at you with this disdain, and why you on this earth?
No, actually, I'm actually very pleased. She's starting to look at her mother that way. Because they've always been very close. It was like the two of them, but now she looks at me like her mother's nuts, and I just go, well, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, right. Hysterical.
I break down to her. I go, you want to be happy? Make your mother happy.
No,
pick your battles.
Now I got the upstairs bathroom. Who put the poo portal sticker on there?
That was me. That's what I did. I was labeling shit. That's what I do in my free time. Yeah.
You ever go in there, Pip next day, and it says the poo portal?
Yeah, we got all sorts of shit labeled.
All right.
Mustard is moustard. She got into the labeler and she had fucking fun with it. There was all shit all over the place. The wife said, you know what? She could keep the poo portal. And she's got a point. It is a poo portal.
It's hysterical. It's funny.
That's my daughter.
Yeah. She got that gene.
I like how you thought there was options about who would have done that. like me and the wife were flipping a coin and who gets to label the toilet? And the winner gets to go around with a labeler and label a cute little like you weren't sure if it was the 240-something-year-old or the fucking 11-year-old that lives here.
No, because the reason why at about maybe 26 years old we had the cat litter box and it was an enclosed one,
mm-hmm.
and I put shithouse over the top of it.
Would you like a label maker for Christmas,
please?
You can make your own poo portal.
So you know me, I'm still a child.
I understand. But I'm like, who did that?
Yeah.
Like, we had a party and you weren't invited and everybody got to go around the house with label makers labeling shit.
Yeah. Desecrate our house with nonsense.
She labeled a bunch of shit. Labeled the cabinets, took that off. The wife liked the poo portal. Again, you got to pick your battles. That's what I'm instilling in my daughter.
Right.
And I talked about this earlier in
the funniest bit stay in the act.
No, it's like, she's like, you're a parent too. I'm like, yeah, but this isn't that big of a deal to me.
You're a parent too. What are you going to be called?
Because like if I'm going along with nonsense, that the daughter feels is nonsense and she looks into my eyes and she knows I feel is nonsense.
Yeah.
It's like, why are we going along with this nonsense? Because this isn't worth a fight.
Yes. And plus, Danny's a comic. You got to see the goofy shit he says on stage.
No, but you got to, you just let the wife have certain shit. Or in her case, you let mommy have certain shit so you can get away with worse shit. That's just what you do. You're doing a negotiation.
You don't tell the kid that, do you?
I most certainly do.
Why?
Because I'm a parent. I got to instill values.
Tell, listen to your mother and then let her do what you want.
No, I instill values in her. I'm very good at that. I've talked about this before on the show about lying. I tell her, I go, you're not good at it. So I go, so here are your options. Either don't lie to me, or get better at it so I don't know. Those are your options.
And kids stink at lying.
Exactly. So she's not lying now.
Okay.
Because she knows if I catch her in a lie, it's way fucking worse.
And that's good. That's good.
That's just good. A regular parent just goes, don't lie. It's wrong. I go, here are your options.
Yeah.
I'm giving her life skills. Because, you know, there's going to be times in life where you're going to have to lie at your fucking day program. We've all done it and everything.
Yes.
So I'm telling her, well, listen. Don't try to lie to your boss, unless you're good at it.
Or as my friend Lenore would say, I didn't lie, I just withheld the truth.
Sure. Thank you, Sam. No, but I'm teaching her a life skill. I go, listen, because, you know, a lot of stuff involves like her chat groups and everything. I go, listen, your mother is very good with the computer. You know what she does. Yeah, exactly. She's very good with the security and everything. And I deal with professional liars for a living. I deal with scammers, people who make all their money lying and fooling people. You really don't have a good chance of fooling us.
Yeah, really. You can't really bullshit. We call bullshit out every day.
Exactly. So the wife doesn't think this is the right message to send, but I think it's the perfect message.
Yeah.
It's like you're encouraging her to lie. No, I'm encouraging her to lie. Better or not at all.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Right.
Sure. It's good parenting, isn't it?
And this way, when you're in 95 in the nursing home, how is everything going? Great, Daddy. Very good.
Yes.
And you're going to sit there and go, is she bullshitting me?
If she gets good at it.
I don't know.
Yeah, 95, I really don't give a shit, to be honest about it. I just want my Jell-O.
Yeah, that's true.
I really don't care.
That's true. Yeah, and Jell-O TV.
Just trying to get to my sponge bath and call it a night.
Yeah, that's the day. That's the day, you know.
I do that now. I'm just trying to get to my sponge bath. Well,
then your routine won't be upended.
Yeah, sure. So a Chinese kindergarten principal has been fired after she welcomed students back to school at the beginning of the term with a pole dancing display. Hundreds of children and parents at the Xinshaohui kindergarten in Shenzhen in the southern province of Guangdong watched as a female pole dancer performed on a flagpole in a large courtyard. Videos posted by parents on Monday show the skimpily dressed dancer spinning and leaning seductively on the flagpole from which a Chinese flag was flying. Speaking to state media, the principal, Lei Rong, said, I didn't know there was a wrong way to lay, but now.
Yeah.
Said there have been 500 children aged 3 to 6 and 100 parents in attendance. Shenzhen-based journalist Michael Stendart said on the social media he had planned to take his children out of the school following the performance. Before our kids got out of kindergarten for the summer, there was 10 days of military activities and displays of machine guns and mortars at the door. Now their principal has welcomed them back with a strip pole dance. Stendart said there was advertisements around the courtyard for a pole dancing school. The writer said when his wife called the principal to complain, the official hung up after saying, it was good exercise! Speaking of CNN,
No.
That's the way the Chinese are. They're very blunt. Good exercise, click.
Good for them.
It was good exercise.
Speaking to CNN, Stannard said some students were uncomfortable with the performance, but added things were now, well, they were wearing thongs, were now moving back to the normal under a new principal. In a statement posted by Weibo on Monday afternoon, the local education bureau said an investigation had found a pole dancing business had been invited into the kindergarten to perform. The district education bureau believes performing pole dancing for kindergarten children is not appropriate, the statement said, adding the school had been asked to apologize to students and parents. Principal Lei told state tabloid Global Times that while a few parents had requested a refund, others wanted to learn a new type of dance.
Jeez, all they gave us was a fucking puppet show.
She said she arranged the dance because dancers had excellent schools. Yeah, we had a cop or a fireman come in. We didn't have this shit.
Yeah.
But I just don't know, how does the negotiation go between the principal and, like, who's ever running the pole dancing class? Like, how does that go? Listen, I'm going to bring in some scantily clad women for your children, and nobody's going to complain.
Yeah, right. Keep shove a yen down her G-string.
It's good cardio. I mean, how does that... I mean,
and then they hung up. They fucking hung up. But, I mean, good cardio collect.
How does that even happen?
You know what, though? Look, that's crazy. But also, it's like, you know, you had pole dancing. After 10 days of military activities, I mean...
What is going on?
So, should we be more shocked over the pole dancing or more shocked over the 10 days of military activities?
I can say the military activities are, you're showing you're a powerful country, take pride in your country. I can rationalize that if I wanted to. Unless you go and listen, hey, this is great exercise. It's hard to rationalize pole dancing.
No, it is. Don't get me wrong, but it's like both things are just.
If you're the dancer, though, I mean, don't you have to not take that gig? That's a shit gig. I mean, what are they tipping you with? Animal crackers and fruit roll-ups? I mean, it's just fucking awful.
Depending what they bring to lunch,
sure. You know? You're negotiating with the kids.
Hopefully, it's good. But what are they thinking? It's like, what are they going to teach them to be middle-aged degenerates? You know?
Listen, this isn't a very good school. Lady, girls, pay attention. You're going to need to learn how to do this.
Yeah.
This is so bizarre.
Yeah.
It really is. You know, if I would drop my daughter off and there was a pole dancer there, first of all, I would tell my daughter, give daddy 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I would take my girl and go home. No, I don't want to explain that.
What, it's good exercise, really? And we're going to try, we're going to try hanging over with our tits out over the drunk men.
Well, when you say it like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this sounds like a guy who was out drinking with his pals. They came up with this, you know, this would be great if I could bring this to work somehow. It sounds like one of those ideas that he didn't completely think through.
Yeah, you gotta be really high. No, you're not gonna get this. You know that girl who I've been going to strip club every night? I'm gonna give her a gig at my school.
Yeah.
That way she's working for me, and I don't have to pay to see her.
Now, aren't the Chinese very conservative with the way they are? You know, I mean,
not that I know of. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, she was dressed.
Apparently not that much.
The dancer was named Me Swing Round.
Oh, jeez.
Not the worst you've done.
Threw that, and it's like, all right, now we wait. One of those jokes you throw, and now we wait.
it's like a stink bomb. Is this going to detonate or not? You know, Me Swing Round is cute.
Cute little
huddle-a-huddle-a-ho.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
Okay, walked away on that unscathed. All right.
Well, you're fine.
All right,
I wouldn't come back with that, but, you know, that's a long time
only. I'm just going to leave the joke there and walk away quietly.
Yeah, exactly. That's the right thing to do. Kind of like you do when you drop off your kid and there's a pole dancer.
Yeah,
like,
right,
walk
exactly.
Away quietly. We're not going to tell mommy about this. Let's go home. I'll tell you what, though. If they were going to have pole dancers out in the courtyard, I would pick my kid up every day from school. You don't need to take the bus. Daddy will get you. I'm going to be there early. You know what? Daddy's going to stay in the courtyard all day waiting for you.
I think that you're onto something. They're just trying to get the dads more involved.
I think it's a great strategy.
That's a win. Yeah, believe me, yeah.
And if the moms want to get involved too, that's a win also.
Get a swinging, ladies.
So fucking weird. All right, we'll move on. Cornell University has clarified a statement from earlier this year saying it did not find evidence that a fraternity held a contest for new members in which they'd earn points for sleeping with women. In February, Cornell's Office of Sorority and Fraternity Life sent a statement that the Zeta Beta Tau fraternity, my old fraternity, have been placed on probation after an investigation into whether fraternity members held the contest, which is called a pig roast. Well, that's not flattering. Now the school has revised its statement, making it clear it did not find evidence the contest actually occurred. The school's initial statement said mischaracterized the findings of the Fraternity and Sorority Chapter Review Board. Following an investigation, the review board concluded it was more likely than not that the allegation someone associated with the chapter encouraging new members to participate in the contest occurred, the school's revised statement. So it probably happened, but we don't know if it happened.
Yeah, that's very weird, you know, the way this, and especially the school. Well, we don't think it did, but it probably did.
The national office was A to Beta Tau. I went to some of those conferences. Hired its own independent third-party investigator to look into the allegation that they surfed. And the national's a pain in the ass, by the way. We lost our chapter, our charter. Anyway, while the university...
Really?
Yeah, well, it's not there in Montclair State anymore. What are you going to do? While the university held the chapter responsible... bless you.
Hey.
Or as they say in Pip's family, shut up! imposed sanctions, it became evident the university's decision was based upon incomplete information. The fraternity said, adding, it brought this to the attention of Cornell administrators, prompting the university to review its findings and issue the revised statement. While Zeta Beta Tau was pleased, the university had not found evidence the contest had taken place. It takes allegations of misconduct very seriously, it said. According to the Cornell statement, the chapter is still on probation and will still be subject to other disciplinary...
Double secret probation!
So what do you guys think of a fraternity providing incentive to have sex?
I think in light of the Me Too movement, it's pretty stupid to have something like that, you know, especially...
Let me ask you a question, Joseph. Well, Pip, what do you think?
I'm kind of wondering why these boys needed incentives to have sex.
Because they're all gay. the whole point, in my experience, and since I'm the only one who's been in a fraternity here, that's all we have to go with, of joining a fraternity. Yeah, brotherhood, yada, 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 as I give off the jerk-off motion. It's to get booze when you're underage and to meet women. That's the whole fucking point.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're doing anything wrong.
But you want to know something? In years past, yeah, it's always been that
way. But it's not rape. They're not saying to rape anybody. They're not saying sexually attack them or harass them. They're just, go get yours, boy.
But just, you know what? From being a frat boy to a network executive, the Me Too movement and the slightest thing will bring you right down.
Right, but this is not, they're not, there was nothing in the allegation that it was not consensual sex. They're just saying,
right.
Go get fucked. That's what college is for. You fuck as many people as possible.
Right. I thought that was politics.
Well, it's different than fucking, but you're right.
Yeah.
Although with the president, not necessarily. He's getting things done and people done.
Fucking as many people as possible.
What?
He's fucking as many people as possible.
Sure. Don't let a whole thing like marriage get in the way.
No, he's fucking the country as much as possible.
Oh, Pip. My little liberal friend. No, he's not. Anyway.
What pills are you on?
Sometimes I throw you a bone.
Thank you. All right. See what happens when you're here?
No!
Shots fired. But yeah, I mean, that was the whole point of college, was to get laid.
Yeah, but...
I'm not really sure what they're... Yeah, because you're saying there wasn't coercive... It wasn't like these are people that have a position of power over these women or that they're raping them or doing anything, like, you know, untoward. They're just trying to get laid. It's like, what did they do wrong exactly? They named it.
It's
what they did.
The name might not be flattering, but I got to be honest. At times, Pink Rose is a much better name than Dana.
Yeah, but in the way things are now, it's degrading. All right, and I'm.
They want to fuck me too, though. It's a win-win.
But it's the this Me Too climate, and things change the way you present stuff. I mean, it's a bad optic thing having this. I mean, you know, they really should have thought this through with the way things are now.
It's not like they fucking advertised it. Somebody fucking snitched.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like It has a really unflattering name. I'll give it that.
But to be fair, a lot of these women are pigs. But go on, Pip. I agree. It's an unflattering name.
Listen, back in the day, my dad had a boss that he was really friendly with. And the two of them would sometimes go and hang out at the bar and you know, kibitz about whatever. But this guy would go home with any woman that mattered. They used to call him, to his face, Hog Farm Jeff.
That's what we used to call it. We had a guy in our fraternity called Newsy, and he would call it hogging. And he would say, because they were big women, he'd go, well, you slap the thigh and ride the wave in.
Oh my God!
So this is not new.
No, it's not new.
By the way, Pip, write that down, by the way. Slap the thigh and ride the wave and write that down.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, nobody fucking snitched. That was the whole point. Next thing you know, we hear people are drinking at these parties. Really?
Do tell.
Really?
That's what the whole point, I mean, that's what it's all about. And the girls are joining sororities to meet guys too. It's not like they're being held at gunpoint at these fucking parties. They're looking to get the dick in them. That's just what college is for.
They weren't saying that they were doing anything that anybody didn't want to do. So what's the problem with this?
Right. I can't believe Joe's being such a little bitch about this.
I'm being a little bitch about it.
I can't like that.
I'm being a little bitch about it because in every little thing you do that could be, it seems sexist, you're going to get hung out to dry for.
But you're assuming that women don't want to get it in also.
The way the Me Too movement is now, it seems that way.
See, Pip, we've talked about this. This is what happens when you ladies take it this far. Now you're actually losing power because real empowerment is realizing you're all a bunch of filthy whores and you own it, which is fine. Own your whorishness. Now we have to look down upon you again that you're a whore.
Yeah.
You see what you've done, Pip?
It's a double standard. Men think that women don't want to get it in too. The problem is with the Me Too movement, it's going after people who have positions of power and they are, coercing and enforcing women into uncomfortable sexual positions in places where it doesn't belong, like in the workplace. But when we're talking about social situations where everybody's horny and wants to do it, what's the fucking problem?
Well, a party at the frat house, everybody's there, hook up, drink. But when they have something called a pig roast, look, I'm not being holier than now, but you got to use your head in, the way things are now,
There is nobody
who knew this.
There is nobody lower on the scale than a pledge. I know. I've been there. Say a fraternity brother is dating a sorority girl and they're having a mixer where both fraternity and sorority get together and you're a pledge. And the fraternity brother's sister wants you to go out and do something. Guess what? If the fraternity brother wants you to do it, you're fucking doing it because you're a lowly pledge. I mean, should that be outlawed too? maybe I'm having my BT.
They're working on it.
Ugh.
This is where we've become now. You can't, everything is a problem. Everything is an issue. It's being sanitized. Like I've always said with renaming sports teams and all this, everything gets out of, you let it go and everything is going to get out of hand. This has gotten out of hand.
I don't know. Listen, the name Pig Roast, a little degrading, but also very often on point.
But I know you. You're my good friend. Two of my other good friends were in fraternities, and I used to hear. And when my buddy Mike worked at Dowling College, we used to hang out with the fraternities when the band used to play, and we used to hang out. So I know what that all that stuff was like. It goes on and on, but it was like it is what it is. Nobody gets hurt. Everything is cool. But now we get to this politically correct climate, this Me Too climate, where it's getting so far-fetched in some ways, where stuff like this, you can't even, everybody's offended now over this.
It's just weird because, if the women are offended by the title and that it's like some kind of weird contest, I would be offended by being, just by association being roped into that title. But the thing is, guys have been offending women as long as there have been men and women.
Oh, of course.
As long as you're not sexually,
they called it something unflattering.
As long as you're not sexually assaulting anybody, which happens a lot in college and these parties too, which is completely different and wrong. This is what college is for. I mean, we had a homecoming. We were rehearsing with the sorority because that's what happens. A fraternity sorority, they pair up and you do a homecoming dance. You make a fucking float. That's what you do.
Right.
Some of the hijinks we did.
Hijinks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, some of my hijinks was out running the cops with stolen shit in the trunk.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
You know what? You know what I did? I made out with this girl. We were making out, my dance partner making out, and we passed out on my fucking Camaro. And then when we woke up at 2 a.m. to an empty parking lot but just the two of us, I fucking drove her back to my place and didn't fuck her. So that shows what a gentleman I am.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what it was. Now you can't even make out with a chick on the hood of a Camaro. What's this country coming to?
It's a totally politically correct where everybody gets offended from everything, where things have just gotten run away and out of hand.
By the way, that whole thing was just to talk about me making out on the hood of the Camaro. That's really what that whole fucking story was about.
Really?
That's real, yeah.
All that's why you're picking stories.
Sure, that's how I do it. How can I work that in?
All right, I got to make time to submit. Davis subliminally telling us, you fuckers better start sending in stories or we're going to have all sorts of shit. Next week, what air supply means to me.
You had worse ideas. I'd like to know. I don't know. I think we got to relax. I think I
have told you again and again where it's just going to snowball and it's going to get to this point, and it's starting to get to this point.
Yeah, I think that you have to take things on a case by case basis, just with in general. But I mean, with this, you know, Me Too, you can't. Not everything is exactly the same. Not everything is a situation where someone was taken advantage of, nor is any sexual activity, you know, covered by the Me Too movement. We're still going to have sex with each other. Sorry, people who are offended by that.
Well, would if you would have shown up.
Well, the thing, you know, and Pip, you said something.
Yeah.
Pip, you said something very good on that, where you said it's a case by case basis. But the problem nowadays is there's a zero tolerance policy, and it's gotten out of hand.
Yeah, I just don't know what they fucking violated. That's the problem.
I don't either.
All right. Well, listen, fellas, ladies, if you want to get it in, get it in, but don't call it a pig roast because that's not nice.
That's right.
Call
right.
it fucking.
Right. Let us go.
Yeah.
I miss college.
Really?
I wasn't good at it. But if I knew now what I knew then, I would talk to more people. I've gotten over my stupid shyness.
See, I went to college for me. I went to night school. So it was like work, go to college at night, get done at 10:30, come home at 11 o'clock, eat, go to bed, get up the next day, study. Yeah, so college for me was just wasn't fun.
No, I should have ditched hell a lot sooner and started my my college years a little earlier.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yep.
Hey, I would have talked more at these fraternity parties too. I didn't really talk to that many girls.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a good schmoozer.
I wasn't then.
Really?
Huh. I'm not a good schmoozer now. I still don't like talking to people. But now,
yeah, same with me. I know.
Talk about this. Give us a microphone. We're fine.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, I'm not a very, you know.
Yeah, but now if I knew that it would immediately lead to sex, if I would just talk to them, I'd walk around with a microphone.
Well, it doesn't immediately lead to sex, but you would have more chances.
College, it was like no. College, it really happened very quickly. It really did happen quickly in college.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, had I known known then what I know now, I would have gotten laid a lot more because I wouldn't have been so hung up on, oh, it's going to make me a whore. Who cares?
There's a girl. You see, your legs would have spread apart like they had springs on them. Sure, gang. Like the doors on an aircraft, or the landing gear doors on an aircraft.
That's
hot.
Like the handles on a corkscrew. I would have been
the Red Sea. Why? Because she's a redhead? No, because her legs split apart like the Red Sea.
Guess it's that time of the month.
Yeah, no, it is different for girls, you know, than it is for guys. But
yeah, I wouldn't have been so concerned about all that. I would have been getting it in a lot more.
Yeah, because you would have realized you're never going to see these people again.
Right.
Yeah.
I was very bad. I'm not a playboy. I'm very bad.
You know.
No.
Mr. Come on a thigh and leave. Come on.
Well.
That's romance.
Second dates weren't your strong suit, you say?
No, because alcohol was.
We all have our skills.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take our last break, and then we'll come back with Ann Jackson. Don't.